Chops TV.
You will be chopped.
Know what that means? Licking my chops.
Today I will show you how to do a karate chop.
Simply saying, no, he doesn't have the chops to do what it takes.
New thing. I'm busting chops.
Welcome to Chops TV, featuring Jennifer Lopez. Now here's Chops.
There's currently a thunderstorm going on, so hopefully, like, our house doesn't get struck by lightning. And would we get sucked into the computer, the microphone, or, like, the podcast? Would we have to live inside Chops TV? Chops and J-Lo here, by the way. That just rung into my head. You know, like in a movie, we watch a lot of those. Like, a thing would get hit by lightning and something would happen to the people who are there or in that building.
Sure.
What would happen to us right now recording the podcast if our house got struck by lightning?
We probably would be sucked into the microphone, which is connected to the Focusrite, which is connected to the computer, so then we could get into the internet, and then we would be in Wreck-It Ralph 3.
Or Timmy Turner Information Superhighway or whatever. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a real thing.
I'd rather be in Wreck-It Ralph, I think. Sure, yeah. You get the wishes, but...
Well, Wreck-It Ralph's not really the internet, though. It's arcade.
It turns into the internet in the second one.
In the second one, you're right. But he breaks it. So do you want to go to the...
He fixes it.
But it is an internet that is capable of being broken by more than Kim Kardashian's ass. So what happens if we go into the internet and it gets broken? Are we stuck? Wreck-It Ralph 3, Chops and J-Lo are stuck?
No, the whole point of the movie is that we have to find a way out.
We do.
Well, yeah, we wrecked it.
What would be our video game? Would we have to be like a duo in a game?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, like, would we be like the Ice Climbers? You know, they kind of are a package deal and they come from the same game. Or would we come from two very different games?
We come from two very different games.
Yeah, you'd be like some sort of like East Coast game and I'd be like some sort of Midwest game.
Yeah, like I would be...
I'd be like Farming Simulator and you'd be SimCity. There we go. It's not very fun.
SimCity. Yeah, SimCity.
So the Sims,
yeah, I
also
know.
Made a city one where you like controlled a city.
Can I be SimCity?
It's like Roller Coaster Evil? Tycoon, but for a city.
Oh, can I do Zoo Tycoon?
Brooklyn Zoo Tycoon. Is it called the Brooklyn Zoo? Right?
There's the Brooklyn Zoo. The Prospect Park Zoo.
Yeah, that one. That's the one I was thinking of. That's the one that you always point out whenever
we
go by it.
Yeah, that one sucks also. It's just not as good as the Bronx Zoo.
Nothing's as good as Columbus Zoo, though.
That's not true.
Is the Bronx Zoo better than Columbus Zoo?
Well, maybe. They didn't get their accreditation taken away. Oh, ooh, shots fired at the Columbus Zoo. I do love the Columbus Zoo, though. The heart of Africa is very nice.
Yeah, and we're going to get back there sometime this season. We haven't been in a while.
No.
It was one of our first dates.
Yeah, we got to go to Cincinnati Zoo, actually. Back when I used to ask you things, and then you immediately just took me to do them because...
Oh, that's what I used to do?
Yeah, woo me. You don't woo.
Well, we've also done everything around here, so it's not... Remember one time I took you to the Book Loft, and it was a surprise, and
that
you really liked it?
The best, yeah.
Yeah, but like, what's left in Columbus that I can just be like, hey, get in the car?
There's that Circle K off of Georgesville Road.
Also, we live together, so I think you'd really like... Where are we going? What's the information? What is this? Okay, so I have one free pass on a weekend day to say, hey, get in the car.
Get in the car.
We're going somewhere.
Get in the car, Al.
Just get in the car, Al. That's from The Kissing Booth, one of our favorite movies. Check it out. It's on Netflix.
One of whose favorite movies?
Ours.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I mean,
package deal, I forget.
Kissing Booth is possibly in top 10 most viewed movies for me all time. Because, I mean, once you get out of like the top 6 or so, there's probably not very many that are like above 5. And I've probably seen The Kissing Booth at least 5 times.
And if you count in sleeping hours, like while it was on while you've been asleep, so subconsciously you're watching it.
Yeah.
Skyrockets to the top of the list.
Well, and we've watched it in all sorts of forms. We've played drinking games with it. We've showed it to friends. We obviously watched it the first time originally.
There was a full year where anyone who came over the house, mandatory watching of The Kissing Booth.
You know, actually, that's where I want to start, because that was something that, while it's a movie and it's not good, it did draw us in and we really liked it. So we're going to talk about a few TV shows that we've been watching today. Some we finished the season that is out, some we have not. But I think that's a problem, because The Regime. Did you finish that?
No, and I don't think I will.
Okay. And Ripley, we like the look. We love the look. And we like Andrew Scott. You love Andrew Scott.
I do love Andrew Scott.
But if we never clicked on it again after watching two episodes, it would not surprise me.
I probably wouldn't go back to it, yeah.
We got about 1.5 episodes into Fallout yesterday. I think that one I'm in on.
I'm holding my judgment. The ghoul thing,
that's the name of the character in the game.
I don't care. I don't care.
He's also played by Uncle Baby Billy. Like, that's not enough. Is Uncle Baby Billy more of a ghoul than the ghoul?
I need it to be even more character ghoulish behavior. He doesn't look like a goddamn ghoul. Don't name a character ghoul and then him be like a guy with like third degree burns on his face. Like, he needs to be ghoulish. You know,
we'll get to more about Fallout if and when we finish that series. And then like those Rebel Moon movies that we're both like, I feel like we should watch those. Those
that
are a big
one
deal.
Is working its way up because I didn't realize it was Zack Snyder.
It's just too. That's why it looks so ugly. Yeah. Whenever I see the previews, I'm like, ugh, it's just dusty and dirty, and stuff's blowing around. Like, God, I don't want to look at this. That's the problem. We watched the first episode of that Ben Franklin show, which I kind of like.
I think I'm in on the Ben Franklin show,
but its color palette outdoors is dog shit.
Well, maybe it'll get better when the winter season passes.
I have very low faith in a movie that's first, or a show that's first seen is Day for Night.
You were immediately out of it.
That's a ridiculous. You cannot do first scene Day for Night. It just looks too bad. I get it from a budgetary standpoint. You need a night scene. Every once in a while, it's going to happen. Big expanses that you can't light, whatever. It can't be your first scene. It just can't. That's a cardinal sin in my book, that the first thing I have to look at is like blacked out light where you can tell that it's sunny out because they're on the freaking water. Okay. My point in all this is I think there are a lot of shows, and everybody knows there's so much content now, and you try them out, and I'm just not sure that currently, especially show-wise, because movies, I can get through the 2 hours even if I don't like it, but no show has grabbed me in a while.
Well, and you know what? I think there's a deeper conversation that we're scratching the surface here, where there is a tendency to shame people for not finishing a series straight through. People do it with books all the time. Like, oh, you were halfway through, you didn't finish it, why didn't you just finish it? Well, there's so much content flooding the market. If it's something's not good, I need to be able to give up on it. And that's what I do with like serialized television shows.
Feel really nervous that you have the idea in your head, if there's something that's not good, I can give up on it. Oh no, am I in trouble?
Well, maybe. What did you do? Like,
no, I didn't do something not good. I was saying, what if you, as a value judgment, judge me as not good the same way that you did with, I don't know. I know it's going to, The Boys, it's going to happen with The Boys.
It is. It's been too long because of the strikes too. Lots of shit's going to drop off my radar. However, you should feel comfortable because this is just an extension of my laziness. Like, just dropping out of stuff. I am too lazy to ever divorce you because that would mean I would have to arrange my own moving company. Like, you do the laundry. I can't go back to that life. So, you're safe for now.
All right. Mark for clip right there. A show we do like, and this one was actually helped out by splitting up the season, I think, because they probably didn't have it all done, because animation takes a long time. Invincible Season 2. We really like the first season. I've never read any of the graphic novels, but it looks like it would be amazing. It's Robert Kirkman, right? Mm-hmm. Walking Dead guy?
I think so. I don't know.
I think so. The second season, I think it was one that actually really worked in the two parts. We didn't know it was a first part the first time around, so when we got through four episodes and it was done.
So you do think that it worked in the two parts?
I think this one was helped out because of the timing of the strike, like we were just talking about, that it would have taken until now to get a full season two out. So I think it was a good choice for this one.
I see.
Because it had been like 2 years since we had a season.
That's true.
So to entice us and not give it all to us, so it's not, oh my God, I got to get through 8 hours of television to catch up on Invincible. It was weekly and it's only four episodes, and then you're ready when they release that season. But no, overall, I don't think it's necessary to do the split season thing. I get why they do it. They want you to stay subscribed. They also want you to like continually watch the show.
And yeah.
I think we could go back to bigger event shows. A Stranger Things could fall into this. You can release weekly, even on streaming. Some things are bingeable, and it's great. Mostly like things that are around 30 minutes, comedy shows, that kind of stuff. I can deal with that all being dropped at once. But yeah, I think these longer narrative shows would benefit from weekly releases. But I don't like the full release, split it, and full second half of the season. I don't know. Sometimes it's like a year later.
Yeah, I'm worried that that will become more common as we get to like a post, like an actual post-strike aftermath, because right now we're still feeling the aftershocks of it. I don't think that the two parts served it well. I almost wish they would have done maybe like a longer release schedule if that were the case, like 2 or 3 weeks in between an episode. You know, sometimes they do that with network television. It felt where it ended, it felt disjointed from the rest of the season. And then especially because the latter half of the second season, the primary antagonist for that last episode is someone from all the way from the beginning of part one of season two. So I had like forgotten a bunch of shit.
You're right. I actually, that's a good point. Like actual content of the episodes wise, it didn't work. It probably wasn't intended to be split in half.
Yeah.
So if you do watch it over an 8 week period, it doesn't feel as much of like, oh yeah, the big brain guy is back. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge callback. And you finally get spoilers for Invincible season two, by the way. We are now entering spoiler territory. We kind of already have. But we didn't say what happens to the big brain.
No.
But at the end of the first part of season two, you finally, Omni-Man's alive. He's on this planet. He's got a child. Mark has a half brother. And you get like the torture stuff with him. But that left you like Omni-Man's back, because he's this huge gaping lack of presence.
Yeah.
In the first half of that season until the last half of that fourth episode. And then you get into that whole second half and they really don't do anything with him. It's a lot of setup, and I'm
because he gets taken by the Viltrumites to Viltrumite jail,
which is one problem the show has, and maybe it works better in the graphic novel or something. But I do find that it's sort of the Superman problem, but like a little bit for a villain. Like the Viltrumites are so powerful and so looming that every other villain ends up being villain of the week, and I think that's why they split up the Mars brain things and left that as a cliffhanger at the end of season one, and they have the big brain guy go away and only come back at the end, because our heroes are powered too highly for any other threat, because we can't have a threat approach Viltrumites. That would be pointless. They can't be fighting two Viltrumite-level powers. There's no way they could win.
Right.
So they have to be lower leveled, and then you get this weird mix of villain of the week, and they just serpentine the main story in between the episodes. And there are episodes where you don't actually even get any of the main story, which is a detriment to the show. Either do one or the other. You can have superheroes and do villain of the week, or have a real long-running story that I'm interested in. Every episode builds on it, not just, there's a few scenes in here that build on the main story. Mm-hmm. Make them core story ones.
Yeah, or make your like villains of the week actual threats to not like Mark or, you know, the immortal or something, but those lower level ones, which they attempted to do.
That was the best episode, I think.
And then totally reneged on it because everyone's alive. Spoilers.
Yeah, like, I understand that not all of them, you didn't want to kill off all of them. And, you know, Jason Matsukis, I've never figured out his name. It's because I never have to learn his name because he sounds so distinct.
Yeah.
But he plays Rex, Rexplode. And, like, I'd get it if they kept him, but then all three make it. Which pulls back on that. But live, I really liked that episode because I also thought we were being introduced to a villain that was going to be a little bit more hands-on for them. It's like, we have a direct, because at least that happened with the Mars brain guys. Like, we have a direct threat. We can't worry about the existential Viltrumite threat. But I don't remember what happened to him. Did he just get killed
Rex gets shot in the head.
Right.
And then the next episode comes and then he gets up from getting shot in the head and then kills him.
Yeah, he goes crazy and just bashes him in. I guess that's foreshadowing a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that's what Mark does at the end of the season.
Interesting. I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, I hadn't either. Well, I'd forgotten how he killed that character. But I remember in like real time, I said that to you.
Yeah,
that I
was like, did.
I'm really interested in this character. And that was a good one because they had introduced him.
It's like a hokey kind of guy.
And was that at the in the beginning of season two, or was it at the end of season one?
It was the beginning of season two, I think. Maybe he was. I don't know. Who gives a shit? Because he's dead now. It doesn't matter.
You know what they should do is just Invincible is these mainline stories with Omni-Man and Mark and everything going on there and with the government and all this stuff. And they kind of did it because they have that Adam Eve show. So maybe we should check that out.
Maybe we should.
But almost separate out the villain of the week ones and just like, and then you could just sprinkle those in throughout time. And that way, if it takes this long to make a new season, I know the strike made it a little bit longer this time, but you could get little taste of Invincible throughout the year. And they can just be little like hour long specials of here's the team.
Interesting.
And those things can be called back on in the main series. But we don't like that. That Mars one with the haste, with the things that control your brain. That was a cool, really interesting story.
Yeah,
but it didn't really have anything to do with the Viltrumite main plot.
And they're still on Earth too.
Yeah.
So will they converge?
I don't know. Are they going to be able to?
I don't know.
Or did they figure him out enough and know that the pulse thing can just take him out?
Yeah. Well, another problem I see too is that there's a lot of meat left on the bone as far as like Mark's story goes. But we can't drag it out for like a whole other season. Kind of like what you were saying, like almost like sideline the main plot in favor of like continuing with the show. I really think that they should have maybe one more season and then do like a movie long finale, series finale.
Yeah, and those going a little bit off what you were saying, but continuing the idea of the villain of the week stuff, like they could even pull that and put a lot of those Mark College stories in there because he has enough going on personally. His dad is like the leader of the like a human attempted human genocide, basically. His mom is now raising his half sibling with him. Like all that family stuff is, and it's really good stuff.
Also really relatable.
But it really makes, oh, your high school girlfriend and you are growing apart in college. That's not even really a superhero story.
It is. It's the ultimate superhero story.
Everybody goes through that. Well, everybody carries over.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Well, how does that make it a superhero story then?
Because the superhero then has to contend with, he can't have quote-unquote normal relationships with normal quote-unquote people.
He's too dangerous to be around normal people.
How dare you throw that back in my face. My favorite quote from the best movie of all time, Hercules. Disney animated version.
I only watch The Plate. It's the world's first dish.
Yeah. You would be into the muses. That's why. Anyway, so what was I saying?
Mark and superheroes can't have relationships.
Yes. So
that is a big superhero story.
He has to learn that lesson because not only are you putting their lives in jeopardy, well, then you're sacrificing time that you could be saving other people. So reconciling those two things is a big part of what learning to be a real hero is.
I hope he doesn't get with Adam Eve.
Why? Because you want him to be so fucking sad and miserable?
No, I just, that becomes too insular.
Like perfect.
Story-wise. And
but
it's just,
why? If we're trying to converge these plot, these storylines.
Yeah, but you could like, have his storylines outside of the show in the Invincible stories like I'm talking about. We already had a relationship that was strained in the Guardians.
We don't need a strained relationship if they could get on the same goddamn page.
I guess, yeah. Well, she finally tried to do that with her future self.
Plus, yeah, well, she is another super bird being, but from Earth, right? So Mark is, at the end of this season, contending with, like, what his real nature is. And she brings out, or she could bring out, you know, the kinder, the softer side of his, you know, nature.
I think the hardest part was
his human nature, like his mom does.
I think the hardest part with deliberating on what Mark is he like his father? Is he a killer? Is in his line of work as a superhero, it seems more like an occupational hazard that he's going to end up killing some of these villains.
Yeah.
You can't Batman it when you're that powerful. That's one of the reasons Batman can kind of go about that, even though he clearly like breaks bones and causes people concussions and brain damage. So, hey, good job, Bruce. But Mark is so powerful that there's really no way for him to hold back. Like, even somebody who at first seemed like, wow, a worthy match and possibly could even get the best of him. Once Mark got to the point where I'm done with this man.
Especially when the antagonists are as, if not more, powered than he is. Superman doesn't ever get to kill people because everyone is so beneath his power level. So if you have people that are actually like causing problems for you on a power level or a tech level or whatever the case may be, you need to dispatch them, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's I think the thing that saves Mark is, at least in my opinion, like looking at it, is how introspective and torn up he is about when he gets to that point. And it's, you're right, you should try your best to manage that. I think that's good. But you actually care about managing it. Whereas Omni-Man would kill that guy the first time he saw him. And not like the first time the guy showed up in his house and made one threat towards the mother for Omni-Man, his wife and his kids. He had just killed the guy right there. First time he got his hands on him. Wouldn't have thought anything of it. Would have tossed him aside like he just killed a cockroach. And Mark doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He actually tries to reason with the guy at first. So I think the way... Yes, you're right. You and your dad both would have killed this guy. But the way that you got there is the difference, and an important difference between the two of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else? Well, you liked the little stepbrother, and you're interested in that.
I do, only because the whole first half of the season, Debbie, Mark's mom, is sort of contending with the fact that she was married to a genocidal maniac who thought of her as basically like a pet the whole time they were together. So she's like trying to reconcile those feelings of missing him, but also hating the fuck out of him. And then she gets his new kid dumped on her, who's like half bug alien. So,
and growing at like an exponential rate compared to humans, which they've not quite laid down exactly how fast he's going to age, but clearly him and Mark are gonna team up at some point, right? That has to be what's happening,
right? So, and not only does she handle the situation with a lot of grace, like most people wouldn't, and but she actually shows like fortitude and strength, and then develops a real bond with this kid.
Yeah, and also, I mean, she mentions it. She says, like, oh, I was married to, what's his name? Grayson? That's their last name. Dick Grayson?
No, Dick Grayson is...
Robin.
Yeah.
What's Omni-Man's name? Wendell?
Kevin. No.
No.
Richard. No.
I don't know. But it's Mark Grayson. It's definitely Grayson.
Tom? No. Go ahead.
The point is, with the mom... What was I going to say that I can't remember it?
Debbie, the mom.
Yes, it was very good that Debbie was able to be like, I've been through all of this. I was married to whatever Omni-Man's name is. Insert Omni-Man's name here. I've been through this for years. And so she stood up to, hey, Walton Goggins. Again, she stands up to the government guy and is like, you're not getting your hands on this.
Yeah.
And I thought that showed... like some growth for her character too. That she was kind of a wallflower when it came to the life around Omni-Man, and kind of let it all happen around her. And was like, well, what can I do? Yeah. And she finally took a little bit of agency. Now it ended up with her getting her arm mangled. Kind of. I don't know if you can blame her taking in Oliver for that, but it is what ended up happening. Yeah. And the house blew up again.
Classic. That house, man. You just gotta.
I love that the neighbors are now noticing.
Move. Yeah, you gotta move, babe. You gotta move. But, yeah, her storyline has always been, like, super compelling to me. And, yeah, very interesting part of the show.
What I don't want is, even though I talked about, like, extrapolating the villain of the week stuff, I don't want it to become the Guardians of the Globe show.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because the Guardians are not even as interesting as some of the, like, Avengers. No offense. They're kind of, like... Not only are they vapid, but I don't really care that the girl can, like, shrink down to the size of Ant-Man and then, you know, gets crushed by a sternum when she, like, tries to go inside his body. Like, I don't care about her. So I don't care about Monster Girl becoming more of a girl the more she turns into a monster. I don't give a shit about any of that.
Yeah, and, like, the weird, like, existential stuff that the robot kid is going through. And then there's a...
That was interesting when Mark was trying to integrate himself into the Guardians.
Yeah.
But now we've almost passed that, right?
And so, then, like, I don't care about Duplicate Rex and what's the Immortal? Their, like, love triangle thing. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, that was stupid. And good for the Immortal. I guess he got his girly back. But, like, she's not going to go into the field of battle. So I'm not saying, like, dismantle the Guardians, and obviously, like, Earth needs protectors, but, like, they should not be a main...
Yeah, and I think that's what the show was leading up to, and I hope they continue that. Mark breaking up from them.
Well, we get...
But also taking out of school and, like, kind of going solo, because Omni-Man was basically solo.
Yeah, and we need to get further into space. Like, the show keeps bringing us deeper into space and, like, off-world. So a lot of that season three is going to be with Alan and, like, his whatever confederation.
Yeah.
You know.
Whatever he... Yeah,
I forget.
The Seth Rogen voiced one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, now he's captured with the Viltrumites.
That was probably
the
best episode, too.
Him and Omni-Man are going to break out of there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mark really has to come to terms with... You cannot be a Guardian if you are going to help your dad, right? There is no scenario in which the government is going to allow you to go off world to help a guy who, like, tried to destroy humanity. So
yeah, even if the two Viltrumites come up and say, no, we're actually against it now, they say, we can't trust
now
you.
That
we
might
trusted
be,
you the first time, and this is, you led us to this.
Right. So, like, that might be the, you know, the real strife between him and Adam Eve, why they can't really be together philosophically. Because while Mark concedes that his father is, like, a fucking crazy guy, he's still his dad.
You saw how quickly he was able to draw him back in at the end of the first part of season two.
Yep. That,
like, yeah, he was angry at first, but it did not take long for Mark to be like, but he's my dad. I have a brother. Wow.
Thanks, Dad. I love my brother.
I think that's the other thing to keep in mind with the character, too, is it's hard for us to put our 30-year-old brains and, like, judge him because he's an 18-year-old college student.
Who the fuck is 30 here?
Okay, you're a month away from being 30, but you're right. You don't have a 30-year-old brain.
Mm. Thank you.
My point is, if I had superpowers when I was 18, I'd make a lot of freaking mistakes, too.
Yeah, right. Like, going off
planet. Everybody makes plenty of mistakes. What were you going to say?
Like, going off planet.
Okay, when good. I thought you were going to make fun of me for a second.
No, when Cecil told him not to, and then he went anyway.
Yeah, that's just stuff you got to mature through.
Yeah.
But he has superpowers, so he can fly off the planet, which is a bit of an issue with trying to keep a leash on somebody. If Kit, the dog, could fly, she'd probably be pretty hard to keep in the backyard.
She'd fly right into the house.
We'd have to get one of those people fences that they have in Florida over their pools.
I wonder how far the electric fence extends to. Because if we had an electric fence, if she could fly, she still might not be able to get off the ground.
Yeah, because obviously they have, like, to be prepared for dogs, like, trying to jump over it. So it goes into, and then the collar's up at their neck level. So it goes up a little bit for sure. But is it just, like, fence height?
Yeah.
Or does that go, I don't know. Imagine us getting a tether for Kit to fly around our house. I don't think she'd run into the house. You'd run into the house if you could fly.
I run to the house and I can't fly. My depth perception is awful.
That's funny. You know what else is funny?
Oh, God.
I think you should leave. First up, let's talk about this I think you should leave live show, which kind of just showed up one day. Like, it's a very short tour. So it only started like a couple weeks ago. And
yeah, like out of nowhere.
It was in Detroit the other week. And it just, and then they're going, it's going to culminate with the Netflix is a joke fest. And they're going to perform at the Greek Theater. There's not a ton of information exactly what it entails, but it sounds like kind of performing I think you should leave stuff on stage.
I don't know. My friend Sam went. Sam and Paul went.
Yeah. Did she give you any info about it?
She said it was really good and funny. They showed some, like, sketches and stuff.
Like stuff that was on the cutting room floor?
I
like
think
wasn't
so,
in the episode?
Yeah.
It would be really interesting. When I saw that it was in Detroit, it was a Friday afternoon at like 3:30. And the show was at 7, and I was like, well, maybe it was 2:30, because I remember being like, well, Detroit, 4-hour drive-ish.
If we leave now.
If we leave now, we can actually make it. We did not go, unfortunately. But I would totally be into it. Zach Cannon, or Kanan, I don't know the pronunciation of his name, but he's the other creator. He's in some of the sketches, you'd recognize him. He's the guy also dressed like a hot dog in the hot dog car one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, where she points at him.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
That's that guy. And then this one's a little bit more exciting because I'll actually have an
opportunity. Wait, is he in love with his mother-in-law? Is that the same guy?
Yeah, that's him too.
Classic.
I bet you love your mother-in-law. I do love my mother-in-law. Oh my God, he admit it. Bring that guy back.
Yeah.
He's been in that and the beginning of the Spider-Man, the No Way Home.
Yeah, he was in No Way Home.
No, Quantumania.
Oh.
He calls Ant-Man Spider-Man. That's what it is. Oh, man, I forgot Quantumania. What a bad Marvel fan I am. Everybody should forget that movie. Tim Robinson.
It wasn't that bad. Just forget Phase 4.
Well, and the problem is, like, they still don't know what they're doing with Jonathan Majors. And that was all in on Kang the Conqueror and him going to play a billion roles.
Well, they reversed it. They did a Uno reverse just in case at the end of Loki. Talked about. Listen to our Loki episode.
Because then it gets even more complicated with, like, the charges falling away. And
well, he's out now.
It's a hold.
I mean, he's out. He's out. He's not with Marvel anymore.
They have officially fired
him. Yeah.
Okay.
So now they have to which I think, honestly, might have been, in a really, like, jacked up way, the best case scenario for Marvel.
Because it actually wasn't working.
It was not working.
No. They were not landing the plane on the Kang the Conqueror story. And okay, so that's you mean just scrap Phase 4. Move on.
Move on.
Leave it in the past. Kill it if you must.
Kill it if you have to, yes.
Yeah, right? Kylo Ren, love that line. I really wish she would have done that. That's way more interesting for Star Wars than for her to be like, no, I'm still a good guy. Okay, and my name is Skywalker.
Look at my bubble braids.
It's just like my bubble braids.
I hate what we as a society let happen to, who wrote it? Rian Johnson.
Last Jedi.
Yeah, after Last Jedi. That movie was probably the best Star Wars movie that has come out in, like...
probably the best of the six, maybe Episode 3. Episode 3 gets, like, shit on because Episode 1 and 2 are so bad. Episode 3 is okay with when they, you know, I have the high ground, all that. There's a lot of good stuff, actually, in Episode 3. Episode, what would that be? 7, The Force New Awakens.
Hope. Oh, yeah, Force Awakens. Of course. Is New Hope. Yes. Yeah.
So that one's fine, but like.
That one's very good.
But the story, like, I get it. I get the story.
But it's the same story. Mm-hmm.
And I think Last Jedi is definitely better than The Last Skywalker. The Last Skywalker?
Is it Last? Yeah.
Do they call it The Last? That can't be right.
Is it? They keep talking about The Last Skywalker, though. Or is it Why Are We All Skywalkers?
Okay.
Who's a Skywalker?
The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh.
Which doesn't even make... That doesn't even make fucking sense, man.
Well, she's rising. Like, dough.
The Skywalkers were once a princess of an entire planet and Darth Vader. They are not... And then the savior of the galaxy. They're not rising anymore. Right. Their family has been trending down for decades.
Power ladder-wise... They are at the top of the rung, like on both sides of it, too. Yeah.
They don't even have those hydration farmers like in their family anymore because they got burned to death. The irony.
Classic.
Hydration farmers burned to death. That sounds like an onion headline. Okay. Tim Robinson will star in and co-write his own HBO series.
The next Star Wars.
The Chair Company. The series follows a man who finds himself investigating a far-reaching conspiracy after an embarrassing incident at work. It sounds fake because that's already a multi-sketch part in season 3 where he chokes on the footlong hot dog and they have to pull it out. And then like 4 episodes later, he comes up and you don't know it's the same guy at first, but he's talking about, I invented a vacuum for hot dogs specifically to get them out of your mouth if you get it lodged in because it can be really embarrassing. And it's like,
is it the same guy?
I hope somehow it's the same guy that Tim Robinson's playing, and I hope he comes up with another absurd scenario, but just as stupid. I don't want it to be legitimate. I want it to be something just as stupid that puts him on this track of investigating it.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to get, like, 6 or 8 episodes out of this conceit.
I think there's a lot going on in Tim Robinson's mind.
I know. I'm excited to see it, but I will... withhold my judgment.
You know, we weren't excited to see. Well, we had maybe some hopes, but it had been on Netflix for a while. This has to go into our rom-com ratings. It is a rom-com.
Stalker.
So,
Stalker.
Yeah.
It doesn't stink. You're choking to death.
We watched Players, which I would probably think you would agree with this, is not as good as Irish Wish, which is not good, but way more entertaining and fun.
Correct.
But it is better than Choose Love and Robots.
Well, yeah. Oh, I guess.
After all you said about Choose Love the other week, now you're going to go back.
I hate Choose Love, and I didn't particularly enjoy Robots, but at least Robots was an interesting concept. This was just like, girl who likes sports is like cool and different and like should be with her friend who also is cool and likes sports.
It is, to borrow an internet term, it is Pick Me Girl the movie.
It is absolutely Pick Me Girl.
Oh my God, it was probably written by a Pick Me Girl.
Pick Me Girl the rom-com, which is fine, but like that is stupid. Like the guy that she's trying to bag is absolutely 1000% the guy she should be with, because the friend who they have sports in common has been running, what do they call them? Operations?
Plays.
Oh, players. Yeah. Players, yeah. They've been running plays together for the last, like, decade or whatever.
That's a part that I wanted to get to about the idea of running plays, because to me, yeah, don't run like Barney Stinson. You know, he has the playbook and like all the, there's a whole episode in How I Met Your Mother about all his little plays.
Oh, yeah. And then you find the playbook, yeah.
Right. Don't do that. Like, don't be intentionally deceitful. But on the other end, some of their plays are just like playing wingman for your friend at a bar. And like,
which is totally normal.
Yeah, that's not even a play. That's just like how people interact. Right. Like, you're a little nervous and your friend gasses you up and maybe helps along a social situation so that hopefully you can hook up, go on a date, get somebody's number, whatever it is. That's fine. But they conflate the two, and they're very different. To be full-on intentionally like lying about, not a little white lie, maybe saying that you have a higher station at work or that you've done this when, I'm a hiker, but I maybe haven't hiked up that. But you might say, oh, I've been on that trail. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, I can get that. Like, yeah. Trying to impress somebody.
Right.
But these are changing your identity. What?
Which is bad.
You're also young, hot people in New York. Like, you can hook up with people. You don't need to lie.
Gina Rodriguez, you are so insanely hot. But the problem is she knew she didn't have really anything in common with this guy. That's why she had to come up with all like these fake activities and hobbies and career or whatever, because they had nothing in common.
Which
I guess I should then renege my previous statement. She should be with the dipshit friend because she's also a dipshit. So they're, I guess, perfect for each other.
It is ridiculously stupid writing.
It's really, truly bad.
Like,
truly bad.
I mean, it's just because this isn't, I've had this sometimes, there are like radio hosts in shows, and sports journalism is pretty close to what I do. I know a lot of like true sports journalists, and like they don't, this movie has no idea what sports journalists do. Like the whole thing is focused around her like interviewing a fan who was at some sort of Reggie Jackson game back in the day, right? This guy never gives interviews. And it's like, yeah, people would be interested in that. But for the most part, features are few and far between, or the super established big names in sports media are the people who write features.
Mm-hmm.
A working their way up, not quite respected at her place of publication type person is on the beat, which they hint at. And the problem is they couldn't get the rights to go into Yankee Stadium. So then even at the end of the movie, she's supposed to be covering Yankees Red Sox, but is doing this whole thing where they trick him to come meet her. And it's like, did the game start? How are you covering it right now? Isn't this your job? They don't understand the profession is a big thing that stood out to me.
Yeah, and it's also, like, bad. The reason why I think it's, like, the flaws in this movie are glaringly obvious is because she was in a much better rom-com a few years ago, The Someone Great or whatever.
Yes, that's what it's called.
Which, still a romantic comedy, even though, spoilers for a rom-com that came out 4 years ago, that they don't end up together. She ends up single at the end of the movie. Still a romantic comedy because she's trying to decide if she should really be with her now ex-boyfriend or not as they're moving apart, or, you know, they're just growing apart in that sense.
We were on a break!
Yeah,
so situations. I don't remember that movie as well as you
do. Well, she was going to move, I think. It was like a career opportunity and they were going to split ways or whatever, and the friends are really involved in the movie. But it was the movie that really like put Lizzo into the stratosphere, because Truth Hurts was in that movie, and dancing around in her little undies. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there you go. Like, and it was the first time it was in like a Netflix movie, and that's where a lot of people heard the song for the first time. And I was like, what is this song? It's so good.
And then Lizzo. I remember the first time I heard Lizzo, I heard Juice.
Oh. And no, it was watching that movie was the first time you heard Lizzo, but you mean on the radio.
I don't know. Okay.
It had to have been.
This is a very specific event.
Okay.
I had to do updates at the Memorial Tournament on a Sunday.
Sure.
And we hung out with a friend who lived up in Dublin.
Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. And so since I was going to Mirfield, she was like, you can just stay over at my apartment and then Jen and I can hang out and you can go do your thing. And we're like, actually, that plan works out really well. But she had driven us back to her house. So I took her car to Mirfield and then you guys went to the mall. And when I was driving back from Mirfield to meet you at the mall, the Juice came on and I went into the mall and you were holding a little tumbler and you're like, a champagne in it. And you gave me some and that was cool. And then, I was like, I heard this song. It was this girl singing about her juice or something. And you were like, that's Lizzo. That's the first time I ever heard Lizzo.
It is insane what details you can recollect.
And then I'll meet your friends 100 times.
And like, not remember their name.
What's her name? I also... To be fair, I misremember guys' names all the time, too. It's not a sexist thing. It's a I can't remember names thing.
Yeah. Maybe you should, like, delete the I had a tumbler of champagne, which is pretty much a like a normal base level for me, and remember my friends' names. Or don't.
Yeah, fair enough. I think, like, something like that could be set up. But, yeah, you don't need to watch Players. It's very low on our rom-com list. And we are still on that search for the next great rom-com. Watched Ripley a little bit, as I mentioned, off the top. Again, in black and white, it looks amazing. It's stunning the way that how it's directed, that they can show off the bad pictures by the Dickie character or the bad paintings, and they look bad, even in black and white. You can tell that they're not good art in that sense. The shots of Italy, clearly they're on location in Italy, but even the way they recreated the old look of New York at his apartment building when he goes to the shipping yard to meet with Dickie's dad. There's a lot of great stuff in it. But one, I didn't even realize it was the same character. Then I realized it was the same character as The Talented Mr. Ripley, the Matt Damon movie. And it's based off a novel as well. This story's been around for a long time. But I thought, oh, maybe it's like a different story. No, it's the same story they told in that movie from 20 years ago. And I kind of spoiled a piece of it for you, which I thought, hey, a movie's 20 years old. There's not much. And then as it went on, I was like, oh, no, this is the same story. And I was like, ignore what I said. And maybe that's partly why it has not hooked us fully in.
Well, I think the reason why it hasn't fully hooked me in is it's just like a little too slow, I think. It's
better paced in a movie form.
I think so. And this might be the rare occasion that is the case. I don't need to watch him mope around looking at Picasso's.
We get it. There's a lot of stairs in Italy. Like, they've done that, like, in two episodes. They've done it, like, three times. That he's like, oh, I gotta walk up the stairs. And we're like, yeah, that sucks.
Maybe
it comes back into something. Again, we have not finished it, so maybe the stairs will come up in some story way. I don't remember them being as big of a factor in the movie, but granted, I've only seen the movie two or three times, mm-hmm. and it would definitely have been like, I probably watched it again in like college.
Yeah, and what you referred to Bo talking on the radio about it, that you guys agreed that this guy is no Jude Law, whoever the Jude Law character is. I think that's part of the reason too why I'm not like super, super invested. His relationship or Ripley's relationship with Marge is much more interesting than him trying to become this guy, because in the movie, I believe that there's some sense of like, does he want to be him or does he want to fuck him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and they've got that a little bit,
but he is not like charismatic enough of a force to like I should also feel that way as.
And there's not enough unsureness with the Ripley character as well. Like, we know he's not up to no good.
Yeah.
Like, we're already two episodes. I mean, you know it at the beginning, but they keep reiterating it. Like, when he catches them, like, in his clothes and stuff. And again, maybe that the TV show aspect of it. Because if that stuff happened over the course of a movie, that happens – you know, at the beginning of the movie, and then he gets confronted an hour in, and then so on and so forth. That might work. But yeah, it's, I don't think the story has enough on it to accomplish however many episodes it is, 8 episodes or so. Mm-hmm. And it's going to feel slow, I think, yeah, if we continue to watch it. But again, if you like black and white and cinematography in that sense,
gorgeous.
Check it out. It looks really good. The director, this Steven Zalian, he is crazy, like his career. As far as a writer, he hasn't directed a ton, but just, this is an incomplete list. He's clearly an adaptation guy. People come to him to adapt stories because all of these based on other things. Schindler's List, Moneyball, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and The Irishman. Like, that's just, and now this Ripley Show, like, that crosses a lot of different genres. Yeah. I guess all dramatic. He's not exactly a comedy writer. But when I saw that list, because I like to look up the directors to see, oh, if that, like, kind of informs me a little bit. And that list, I was like, okay, he's not directed much, but the writing credits are pretty illustrious for, yeah, him.
And I might be the only person on planet Earth who thinks this, but The Irishman is bad. Not because, like, the movie itself is bad, the story is bad, the acting is bad. It is too long. The runtime and the pacing issues of that movie make it a objectively bad movie.
Irishman should be a limited series. Ripley should be a movie.
Yeah.
And this guy wrote both.
I know. Sort it out, dude.
Sort it out, man. I did not notice this until you pointed out, because I never, ever recognize her or her sister in adult form. Elle Fanning plays Marge, which brought me along to the Kieran Culkin. What?
Dakota.
Elle Fanning is Marge.
Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning is Marge.
Yeah.
Either way. Doesn't matter. That's not the point of what I'm saying.
Sorry.
Because Dakota shows up every once in a while, but not very often, and I never recognize her.
Yeah.
Because she's still the girl from War of the Worlds, yeah, to me. But her sibling, Elle Fanning, Kieran Culkin falls into this list. Elizabeth Olsen is another example. So the CFO phenomenon is what I'm calling it for Culkin, Fanning, Olsen phenomenon, where super, super famous, like the most famous child in the world, all three of their siblings, you could argue, had that hat at one point in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And they get burnt out, and they don't really want to continue doing it, at least not at the clip that they are as a kid. The Olsen twins are basically completely out of acting, made a ton of money, work in fashion, do whatever.
Good for them.
Dakota Fanning, yeah, shows up periodically. Kieran, or Macaulay Culkin, I think is just finally happy to be living a nice, healthy, relatively normal life.
Famously married to Brenda Song.
Has a kid.
London Tipton.
Her. Got clean. Had some drug problems there.
Let's go.
So
good for him.
Yeah, so it's not like, oh, the older siblings should definitely be acting. Why aren't they acting for me? It's not that.
Good for them.
But it's weird that all three of them have a younger sibling who was kind of an actor along the way, but never reached their height. Kieran Culkin was the most, like, kind of an actor of all of them.
Yeah.
Mostly just put into things that Macaulay was in. Mm. He's the...
Yes, I know.
The cousin who wants to pee the bed. Yeah. All of them are now really not just like full-time working actors, the younger siblings, but really big actors now in some of the most popular things.
Yeah, for sure.
Elizabeth Olsen is what, freaking Scarlet Witch.
I know. Kieran was really the sleeper hit out of all of them.
Yeah, he started to show up in like the mid-2000s. Remember, he had the supporting role in Scott Pilgrim, and I kind of picked up from there.
Elle Fanning is, I think, the most interesting case of it, because Elle Fanning is like a very beautiful, very porcelain blonde girl. So she could have really gotten any role that she wanted, right? Just because of nepotism and like being hot.
Mm-hmm.
But she chooses very interesting projects, and she's a very good actor. So like all of these, you to be in the CFO category, you can't just be like putting out dumpy movies on Netflix every other month. You have to be choosing like very good, like critically acclaimed work.
Or giant blockbuster.
Or giant. Like, but even Elizabeth Olsen does both.
Mm-hmm.
Porque no los dos. You know? So there's different criteria to be in the CFO club, I think.
Yeah. So if you guys have any more examples of anybody who should be the CFO phenomenon, a super famous older sibling as a child, and now as adults, the younger sibling is the one that wanted to continue and is a big time actor. Let us know if you have any more examples. You can always hit us up at _ChopsTV. That is both Twitter and TikTok to hear from us, reach out to us. Tell us you love the show. Give it a follow while you're there. Why not?
If you want to text me, find my phone number.
Well, you're going to have to run a play for that. So you're going to have to find Jen at a fun casual joint, and you and your friend have to walk up to her and have a fake conversation about how one of them's probably a firefighter. So just so everybody knows, if you pretend to be a firefighter, you can definitely get Jen's number.
Why are you putting my shit out on blast right now?
What if you ever got a firefighter's number and then you looked at it and it was 911?
That would be kind of hilarious. Honestly, I would have to laugh at it. I think
you can text 911, though, so that would be a really awkward... Like, 911, I believe, is textable now.
What if I, like, was...
Text 911 at, like, midnight, hey, you up?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if I just fully leaned into it.
Well, who are you? Like, if they respond, like, this isn't the guy. And I was like, what are you up to?
Yeah, looking for a fire pole to slide down.
Well, I'm a 911 dispatcher, yeah. So...
Ma'am, it's 3 p.m.
If you don't have an emergency, we're going to have to end this text conversation. And that's probably a good sign to end the podcast as well.
Yeah. I'd probably end up in jail because it is a felony.
Good news is we didn't get struck by lightning and sucked into the computer. Yet. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Chops TV is made possible by people who subscribe to podcasts and viewers like you.